What Happens in Vegas is recorded. Our first of many of the Triple J Show, aka Just Us Clowns Talking About Clothes. Gian DeLeon, John Moy, and myself, Jeremy Kirkland, chat late into the night about what's happening in fashion. This is a fashion-only talk. Gian discusses the new concepts at Nordstrom and the reinterpretation of classic menswear. We chat the standards of engineered garments, debate if Moy has a gold mine in his old toy collection at home, and gangsters using talkboys, and last but not least, we discuss me working out with the Golden State Warriors in Vegas. It was wild, it's gnarly, let's do it.
After dark, Nordstrom after dark.
Yeah.
Nordstrom uncut.
This one's for you, Sam.
Mate, not sure I appreciated that. The best part about doing this is being absolutely stone cold sober and then also doing the opposite of all the fun things you're supposed to do in Vegas. So far, I got to the gym early and worked out. I criticized people that were drinking early by subtweeting and didn't drink or get drunk or anything at all last night, really.
But you worked out with the Warriors.
I did work out with the Warriors. Big flex. Thanks for that.
And you lifted
the
like
basketball
a heavier
team,
weight.
Not the Coney Island gang. I should add.
Yeah. This is a podcast about clothes, so yeah. People might immediately revert to that.
Like, oh, wait. Were they just wearing leather vests in the gym?
Sick vintage Levi's.
Yeah, man. NBA Summer League and me.
Just bumping iron.
I'm like, guys, where's practice? Talk about practice, guys.
It looked like Space Jam if like Elmer Fudd had to join the NBA. So like a totally different movie.
Yeah.
Which actually would have been amazing if that was the plot of Space Jam A New Legacy. It's like it's one tune joining the NBA.
The best would have been like so they got the big mirror, you know, and you're standing there pumping iron. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, I got this, you know. And so I'm doing my little 25-pound dumbbells. And this other guy comes next to me, and he's definitely a warrior. Not by, you know, but his physical appearance, because he's like 7 feet tall and he's really skinny. And he's got his trainer with him, and his trainer goes and grabs the same weight that I was using, 25 pounds. And he like, homie's having a little trouble. So then I felt like, coach, yeah. Pick me. I can do the 25 pounds. This guy can't do it. He might have had a 10-foot wingspan.
Yeah.
So.
And like a 40-inch vertical.
Yes.
But good thing basketballs don't weigh too much.
They get back to the office, guys. I think we made a huge mistake. We were at the gym in Summer League and saw this other dude. He was actually lifting about 5 pounds more than, you know, Tony that we just drafted.
Yeah, on waivers.
We got to get him in.
Yeah.
We just got to make the call.
We did see Amari Stoudemire getting a coffee.
Wait, what?
We did?
You didn't see that guy taking pictures with all those people?
And it was Stoudemire? Yeah. Is he still playing? Uh-oh. I'm going to get tweeted or something.
I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't think so.
But there's a ton
of people just, I mean, why not? You might be consulting. Yeah. They probably do like their version of like consulting in the NBA.
Yeah, is that what you, like when you're done with your NBA career and you were really big? Yeah.
Or like position coach, right? Like, oh, we're going to help you rebound. Like, we're going to help you. Yeah.
I'm going to teach you how to get in the paint.
I'm going to teach you how to listen like more than coach. Lift more than 20 pounds.
This is true.
Yeah. He's a strength training coach. That's what his thing was.
I mean, I'm 99% sure it's Amari Stoudemire, unless it was just another very tall man that looks exactly like him. Just not probable. You know, NBA players are at like that height where like you just self-select out a lot of the population, you know?
Okay. I mean, they do. I would say an NBA player looks like an NBA player.
They're... Yeah, but like older post-NBA players, right?
Ah, you know, it's different. So it looked like he had a little weather.
You know, just like not as like athletic-y dressing, you know? Like there's like the new to the NBA get-ups.
New to the NBA is head to toe off-white and
yeah, it's a big, get-up.
Big Daytona Rolex or something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I saw a lot of dudes wearing... One guy was like a new rookie. Maybe
I'm not good at that. Like I'm not good at identifying, you know, every single NBA player. Just give me like the big ones or the ones that like I'm fans of, like Rui Hachimura, yeah. You know, Shasta, the Wizards,
there you, go.
You know, or big Bradley Beal, etc.
Yeah,
but I am good at obscure fashion people. So you
that
know,
that I am not.
If Junior Watanabe is hanging out somewhere, man,
ironically, I would walk right past him. And I'm one of his biggest fans.
I would know.
That's true. I'd be like, get out of my way.
Moore's like, that's Amari Stoudemire.
I'm like, oh, yo, that's like, definitely that's Junior Watanabe. I don't know what nobody looks like now, but that is definitely Helma Lang.
Gina will be like, that's Martin Margiela.
Yeah. You guys didn't see Martin Margiela just like casually hanging out?
I wouldn't recognize Margiela if I saw him in person. I think I would recognize Helmut Lang. You see like some dude with long hair and like a tattered t-shirt carrying some dead wood down a beach.
I think the only fashion dude I would definitely recognize is Rick Owens.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Well,
could you not recognize
him? He sticks out like a sword.
Yeah. He's got a look, but he's also like in that sort of GOAT level now.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of just being a pop cultural.
You'd recognize Ralph.
In his own right. You totally recognize Ralph.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Raph Simons.
Yeah. You would.
Yeah, okay, Raph. That, okay. You got me.
Rei Kawakubo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not maybe if she hadn't changed her hair.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. But
she changed her hair?
No, I don't know. I don't think she did. But, she certainly has a...
At some point. Yeah. You know, change it up.
Okay, Daiki Suzuki. That's a very obscure one, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like you recognize Daiki by... what he was wearing. Well, I would recognize what he's wearing.
That's
more.
An engineered garments designer for people who don't know, by the way.
Evidently.
Who is D-I-K-I? No. D-A-I-K-I. Get your shit together.
Yeah, man. Anyway, enough about that.
I think this is kind of a great transition because when you think of Daiki and like what everyone was in on, I feel like Daiki is still the transition between hashtag menswear and streetwear, at least for me, was always engineer garments because of the Bedford jacket. It was the unstructured three-button, four front pocket jacket with the little peak lapels that had the little keychain for the button.
Yeah.
Buttonhole.
Still got one.
Little loophole.
We all still got the Bedford.
One. It's a little tighter now.
But then...
I still have six. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I bought a Bedford suit last season.
They're great. I think that's the problem. I'm glad I like.
And by Bedford suit, it's a very loose suit. It's the jacket with like a pair of pants that is ever changing.
Yeah, it could be like gathered at the ankle. It could be.
It could be the Andover. Knee, it could be the Carlisle.
Yep.
You know, there.
I think I have an Andover jacket.
Yeah.
Too?
Or it could be a pair of
Andover's
the
lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, is that the big difference?
Line. It's a three button.
There's
with
the Andover jacket and the Andover pant. The Andover pant. Is a slim leg, I believe. With
Where's
the single
Angelo?
Yeah,
I think the last time I was
the
like,
Andover jacket. It is lined.
Okay, though.
Yeah, I got a couple of those. You know,
yeah. But that was the suit that people wore when it's like I'm into men. You know, I'm into workwear.
It had the ticket pocket as well.
You're like I'm into workwear and I'm getting into hashtag menswear. This is my transition piece. Or when you were like, yo, I'm gonna wear some Lardini. But I'm also going to rock my EG stuff. Like, seriously, I would argue that EG was the crossroads between that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like the entry, it's like the gateway drug to a lot. Because I think it's also like, I had this like working theory that it was like also where dudes who, there's like tech wear dudes who have always been into like Acronym, Arc'teryx and stuff. But then like dudes who like kind of like got theirs like in a longer route, it was definitely EG.
Yeah, but you can't sleep on the crosscut t-shirts and crosscut sweats.
Oh,
which that, were also the, like another stuff, crossover right? from like not camber. No. Like the when Engineered Garments did their crosscut t-shirts and crosscut sweats, it's like the USA t-shirts
and
super hardy beefy.
The collar would also
was a crosscut.
Yeah, exactly.
So it had like that sort of signature flat lay to it. It was essentially American reverse weave for like the I think it was made in North Carolina. I'm not sure if they're the same mills, but it was a nice beefy sweat. Yeah. And this was before, they did the workaday zip sweatshirts and all that.
This is like Inventory magazines putting it in the thing.
Yeah, for sure. It was a sleeper, but like it was like for the heads who were like, oh,
pictures.
You guys are up on the Bedford jackets, I'm up on the crosscut.
Words.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that was also like Daiki era Woolrich, right? So it was like literally a crossover because he was doing both, right, at the time?
Yeah.
So like, there you have
Woolrich
like,
woolen mills, right?
Yeah, like straight
hunting
workwear.
Classic.
Just
oh God, so good.
So
fall winter 2010. Didn't you write that blog post?
What?
For like fall winter 2010, Woolrich woolen mills was Fourpins. No, Fourpins wasn't around then. But
I think
it was like
2012. I think we did like a retrospective about how dope it was or something. Well, okay. That was like, whew.
If you had any of the Woolrich woolen mills EG stuff now, would you wear it?
Yes.
Yeah, the blue, the blue like shadow plaid thing too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm also like probably a special case. You know, like I still really like workwear. I don't wear it the same way, if that makes sense. But yeah. Like, yeah, I still, yeah, I definitely would wear a bunch of old like Dike Era Woolrich for sure.
That stuff I have still that I would never get rid of, but I don't really wear. Like, I'm not above it.
It's the shawl collars that throw me off.
Yeah.
Is there's so many shawl collars.
A lot of the shawl collar stuff. Yeah. And then they did a really good, it was like the over parka, which was supposed to be based off of the Filson.
Mm-hmm.
The like fishing, like it kind of had a bit of a fishtail and the back zipper went way all the way up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. I mean, I still wear, I don't know if it's that collection, but it's like the Woolrich pants that were like the, it was like the cargo pocket on the front.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I remember those.
Yeah, yeah. Those are sick.
It was like the paratrooper
with
pants.
Like, and it has Michael like kind of like a selfie.
That.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see some of that in his Brooks Brothers collection as well.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But yeah, I still wear those, you know, well, but I also like wear shit till it dies.
Yeah. And engineered garments and Woolrich still work together up until the factory closed, though.
So it is
probably
closed?
I believe that the Woolrich factory is donezo. Like, I don't think they're making any more new Woolrich fabric.
That sucks. Are they making blankets?
Hold on to it.
I don't know. I think it's gone the way of cone denim.
Damn.
Because, really? You know, WP Lavori sold it. WP Lavori used to own it in Italy.
Oh, they sold it.
Yeah, and I believe they sold it to another holding company now. And now they shut down the factory. But, you know, I think going on to what you would wear now, what I would wear now, one of the grails for me is probably fall 16 when they did another Woolrich collection. Not Woolrich Woolen Mills, just engineered garments. But they made a Woolrich buffalo plaid version of the cruiser jacket, like the classic Filson Mackinaw.
Yeah.
And that thing is still fire, and I still wear it.
Yeah. Agreed.
But it's just, I mean, you know, it's going to be, I don't know how many cold winters we'll have at this
that's
point.
That's the problem.
Because of global warming, but.
That's true.
That's the problem.
You get less and less days to wear the best gear.
I think the UN just made like a, you know, had a
it's over.
A study that said like pretty much climate change, some of the effects are irreversible at this point.
Yeah, donezo.
So
hang on to your hat. It's over, kid.
Spring, summer, 20 forever.
It's like literally the endless summer now.
Man,
terrible.
You got your wish, warriors. Call back. So, Gian, you're helping relaunch the new concept, which is when we were texting, you said it's going to be really dope. There's a bit of a callback to hashtag menswear.
Oh, right. Yeah. So I'm not helping relaunch it. You know, new concepts are still founded by Sam Lobbin. And I work on his team that, you know, helps tell these really fun sort of forward thinking stories. In the Nordstrom men's space.
But yeah, yes. True. I'll backpedal. So I don't mean that New Concepts was over, but that like a kind of a relaunch of a hashtag menswear style thing.
Yeah, so we're revisiting it for sure. Launching this month in August, towards the end of August, we have one called Found in Translation, a new language of American style. And, you know, it's a pretty personal one. I was... You know, very privileged to. I hit up Josh Kissy, the photographer and director, who was one half of the, you know, menswear blog. I mean, they were
street
definitely
etiquette.
A class of their own, right?
Him
and Travis Gums, you know, they did Street Etiquette. And I was just like, look, I want to tell this story about reimagining classic menswear. I think that if, you know, because him and I always sort of had this kind of conversation about being in the world of hashtag menswear and preppy style, etc., but not being like of that world, so to speak, right? And so it's just like
biblical,
you know. I mean, not really biblical. It's just, I remember one of the first op-eds I wrote for Complex that was like, I wasn't made in America, why should I care if my clothes were?
Oh, damn.
You know, because I was born in the Philippines, and you know, Josh is a Ghanaian, he's the son of a Ghanaian immigrant, and we were just sort of talking about what would the spiritual successor to some of the projects that he worked on, like, you know, Black Ivy being in this particular editorial that was really, really influential for its time. It was shot at HBCUs. It featured a lot of amazing, talented people and really just put, you know, that conversation at the forefront of minorities and classic style and this sort of complicated relationship of subverting, you know, this traditional idea of dressing. And so that's sort of how we approached it, that the campaign that he art directed, we were working with this amazing photographer that he co-signed named Lawrence Agye, who I believe is also of a Ghanaian descent, to just give this new spin to, you know, people want to talk about classics with a twist. People want to talk about this prep resurgence. But for us, it was this way of thinking about how can we have Drakes and Beams and Our Legends, which is like this brand out of LA that, you know, is sort of rooted in BMX culture, but they make rugbies with like Mongoose logos on them. And like, you know, Ivy Green socks with like GT logos. Like they did a couple of union collaborations.
Like GT bicycles?
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
So it's sort of like subculture and, you know, the outsider influence, right? So I think for us, the way we wanted to talk about it is that people of, you know, who are curious about classic style or wanting to take something and make it their own in the ways in which we've done that through clothing. Because we also are carrying Needles and Barracuda, who have like these really cool collaborative jackets. Tremaine Emery, Denim Tears. He has a Champion collaboration called Champion Tears. That's also a partnership with like the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. So he's calling it African American sportswear. So imagine like Madras trench coats and like half zips with like the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater and collegiate font, and just like really cool sort of like fishnet sweaters and cricket sweaters in the style of, you know, David Hammond's African American flag, which is the recurring motif for him. So, you know, there's a lot of really nice meta layers into it. And I think the way that the story came together is just pretty novel to explore. And, you know, this continuing conversation for us in terms of what I've been doing at Nordstrom.
Dude, that sounds really beautiful, to be honest with you. I think especially now when, I mean, we talked about this when we were talking about the panel, where people want all the clothes that they buy to say all these things about them, but also like, I think it's probably not in my best interest to patronize any brand or store that's not trying to really change the narrative and alter the industry that, you know, basically has not been welcoming and not been as friendly to minorities and people of color. And like being able to do that, especially in a sense where it's like, all that style is the most, you know, I mean, when we talk about prep stuff, right? I mean, it's like white, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, right?
Exactly.
Like the WASP style. And being able to do that in a way that's like very truly reflective, especially with, I mean, freaking Kissy's on fire. Like he's...
Oh, yeah. Can't be
stopped. It's so cool to like watch. Like I still call him a kid because he was so young when I first met him.
Yeah.
Like, he was like 19.
And now he has a kid.
And like
kid.
Talking about,
yeah,
like,
say, he's got
yeah,
a
he
kid
has
now.
A kid. He's got
married.
Like a full, I remember meeting him at like the Angel Orsons thing at Capsule. Like the first
wow,
big
Angel
Capsule.
Orsons Foundation. That is a throwback.
Yeah, I'm saying. And like
we
I remember him and Travis
about this
were there.
In the car. Like when the Angel Orsons Foundation, for those who don't know, that's when Capsule, you know, which was like the super niche menswear trade show at the moment, that was next to Agenda, which was the super niche streetwear trade show. And that was when, you know, you would go to Capsule, you would see like Norse Projects and Mark McNary, and then you would go to Agenda, and it's like, oh, cool, more Huff Plant Life weed socks and coaches jackets with like Comme des Garçons flips on them. And it was two very disparate words still.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that was so fun. Yeah, and I remember...
Want to hear the rest? The season never stops on Patreon. Join us for more casual chats and bonus episodes with your favorite guests, from Ilaria Urbanati and Sid Mashburn to Derek Guy of Dye Workwear. It's all on there. You also get access to our private members-only Slack group where we chat about this stuff all day and all the time. So visit patreon.com/blammo and we'll see you there.